Bibles and turn to Luke 1. Luke 1.
The New Testament. We'll start out in verse 26. Luke 1, 26. Obviously, this is the 5th of December. We are 20 days away from Christmas, so it's... This kind of came to me. I don't think we're early. I think it's right on time coming into it. But I will tell you this disclaimer up front. As I was finishing putting notes together today, I got a call from my boss that our place just got bought out or is in the process of getting bought out by another warehouse. So if nothing goes together, it was my head. So don't worry about it if you're not catching it. It was just my head was kind of scrambled a little bit today, but nothing more than that. Dale, could you open a word of prayer, please?
Yes, sir. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for traveling and mercy, Lord. Thank you that everybody was able to show up, Lord. May this message come forth. May we hear it. May we take it. May we leave here differently than we came here, Lord. Bless the preacher. Use his mouth, Lord, and let us hear what he has to say, Lord. And let us take it serious, and let us take it home. We thank you for everything you have given us and are going to give us. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen. So Luke 1, 26 through 25. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city called Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now as far as pregnancies go, I think this is a little out of the norm. And you can understand why Mary is doubting this, why Mary is asking this angel questions. Now, number one, if you see an angel, it's a pretty good sign. It's probably from God. But there was more that needed to be done to kind of cement it in her head, so or in her mind or in her soul. So we'll move to, still in Luke 1, go to 39 through 44. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judea. And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not a woman, but if a baby leaped in my womb, I'd probably be filled with the Holy Ghost too. It's just, like you said, I've never been there. I've felt my wife's belly as the baby's rolling, but that's a whole different thing, I think, from what we're talking about here. But again, if that doesn't mean something to Mary, there should be something wrong with her. But anyways, where did we leave off? 42, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Where did I just... Okay, yeah. And she, in verse 42 again, and she spake out with a loud voice. So again, I'm not... This baby moved. It wasn't like a roll. I would think she looked like she was on a game show. Woohoo! The Holy Ghost just did something in there. So, again, when you read your Bible, look at every word and just see. I play it. My head, again, I'm weird. I see all kinds of pictures when I read my Bible. And when I see that, I don't know if you're talking about the wave. They're all going up and down or what, but kind of put something into your Bible and your reading and to make it bring it to life to you, not just and she spoke a lot. You need to really get into your Word of God when you're reading it. Verse 43, and whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. So right here, right off the bat, it's not a normal pregnancy. And she's said in verse 42, you are blessed among women. You got something special going on here, okay? What was so special about Mary? And I'm going to put this out there, and I can be wrong, but I'm a parent, so I kind of want to go with this one. But Jesus, or God, watched Mary's parents. Mary was a proper young lady. She had done, God knew he could trust her. She was something special, a woman among women, as we just heard in this passage. It wasn't that God just said, you. God had seen this girl, saw how she was being raised, that it was being done right, it was being done correctly. And I think that's very important. That's a big reason. Could God have done it with somebody that was heading down to the gutter? He could have if he wanted to, but he chose to reward this woman. Now, that being said, the other disclaimer, we're not going to put a picture of Mary up here. We're not going to give her flowers. That's a different religion. You need to keep it in context of who she was, but she did give birth to Jesus herself. So she was definitely above other women. And we're going to look into that a little bit more. Go to Luke 2, and we're going to read from 1 down to 19, and it'll be long reading, so please don't fall asleep. And it came to pass in those days, Luke 2, starting verse 1, that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And again, most of us have heard this story. We're just going to touch on it again. Verse 2, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying. And again, as I was just saying, if you're picturing things, that's got to be a pretty neat scene. Okay? Angels, heavenly hosts, all praising God. That's got to be pretty cool. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. So that brought up to me the word ponder. And I'm going to go techie here for a second. Okay, definition of ponder. Transitive verb to weigh in the mind, appraise pondered their chances of success, to think about, reflect on, pondered events of the day. I think everybody probably got the idea what pondered is, right? To think about, to figure out what you think about this. Now this was, again, Mary's already basically had the reassurance of Elizabeth telling her the baby jumped, by seeing the angels, by all this different things. She's got it pretty much cemented in her that she knows what's going on. She knows that this is something special. This is something different. When you ladies and men, but not as much the men, what did you ponder when you were expecting? Just a random question, but some of the things I can think of is it going to be a boy? Is it going to be a girl? How hard is the birth going to be? That's going to be for the woman. What will they become? Who will they become? Will they get saved? Are they going to be the head of the class or the bottom of the class or the middle of the class? Are they going to be a sports star? Are they going to be into arts? Are they going to have lots of friends? Will they be kind? Will they be respectful? Will they care for others? Will they care only for themselves? And what color are the rooms going to be? Now, I know in our house, when we were expecting our first one, that's the kind of things that were going through our heads, is what room's going to be the kids, what color is it going to be, things of that nature. That's what I'm saying. That's what we have to ponder about today. This day and age, most women and men are pondering of these things, okay? But in this day and age, we need to do more than ponder. This is not just for somebody that's expecting. This is for any age. You can apply it wherever you need to apply it. But we have to do more than just ponder about our kids or our future kids or whatever's God's going to give us. It's time to get to work. It's time to be training our kids. We just need to be doing more than training. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, short verse, pray without ceasing.
Yes.
Doesn't mean that you pray 23 and a half hours of the day for your kid. But you should be praying for your kids multiple times throughout a day. Whether it just be, I know they have a test, or I know they weren't feeling good, or I know that they didn't deodorize this morning. There's something that you need to be keeping your kids in prayer over, but there's a lot coming at these kids these days that they really need our prayer. So first and foremost, you can start right off with praying without ceasing. Your kids are going to choose who they're going to be. Despite how many times I hit my kids over the head and tell them what they should be, they will choose as they get older to be who they're going to be. So I only have a short amount of time to show them and to be a role model of Christianity. Now, kids are watching us every second of the day that they're with us. And if you're like me and you blow it most of the time throughout the day, that's what they're going to remember. But again, it's on how you handle it after you blow it. If you own up to it, if you ask for forgiveness, you show them the path. You don't just, I blew it again.
That's right. Exactly.
And unfortunately, I've done that a few times, and it's wrong. It's, I'm going to be accountable for these idle words, and I keep right on going. No, I got to make it right with God, and I also need to show my kids that I'm making it right, not just say this is what you should do. You need to live it. Are you praying for your kids now, and are you praying for them to be separate? More than ever, I will touch on a couple of verses that Pastor Asquith hit on last Wednesday night. It was about being the light of the world. There's a lot of darkness out there. There's not a lot of light. And that's what we need to be praying for, is that we are showing our kids how to be separate from the world, how that they can survive, how they can prosper doing it the right way, doing it according to God's word. Are we giving them a foundation, or are we just giving them blueprints? Now, we talk about God's word is what we go by for a blueprint, basically, how to be a Christian. But are we, again, showing them, this is how you do it. We're building a foundation. We're building it on God. This is what you need to follow. This is, again, they're going to make a choice, but you have to be doing your part, not just saying, oh, you'll be all right. Just, it's in there. Figure it out. If they come with a question to you, and Josh is perfect at this, because I had him in Sunday school class. He asked me questions, and if I didn't know it, then I had to either dig into the Bible and figure it out, or I had to ask Pastor about it. That's when your kids are coming to you, that's a golden opportunity to explain the Bible to them, or give them your opinion, or give them a foundation, okay? If you give your kids just a blueprint, and they don't know how to read it, what are they going to do about it?
That's right. Exactly.
I can make a paper airplane out of this. They're not going to know what to do for the rest of their lives, not know how to live a separated life to be a Christian. Again, the time is now to do the hard work. I thought the hard work was changing diapers. That doesn't compare to being a Christian parent, living for the Lord, being an example to your kids.
Yes, sir.
Is pretty hard. Switch off that a little bit. Christmas is about the Savior of the world, not Santa. And I shouldn't have said that word out loud. But if you are a Christian and you're home, all you're talking about is Santa, may I suggest there's an issue.
Yes, sir.
This is a time of season that is about the birth. And everybody will say, well, it's all about the death and burial and resurrection. You wouldn't have, and I heard this from Dr. Jeremiah this week, you wouldn't have the cross if you didn't have the cradle. He had to be born, and we need to celebrate that just as much as his death and his burial. Without that birth, we would have no Savior.
Exactly right.
So let's not take Christ out of Christmas. Let's make sure in our homes that we are making it an effort, a real good effort, to put Christ into Christmas, not just, there's the presents, go tear them up. I'm not going to say that we do everything right, because we don't. But before our kids can open our presents, we read a part of Luke 2. We read about the birth. We read about the different things, and then have prayer, and then turn them loose. Again, I'm not perfect. We don't have all the right answers, but put the priorities in a list, and Christ should be first. Again, put Christ in Christmas, and you got to figure out where your focus is. If your focus is on the worldly things, that's what they're going to grow up worrying about, it's the worldly things. So I asked the question earlier about pondering and about Mary. So what do you think Mary pondered on? I think she pondered a lot of the same things we did. You know, she already knew it was going to be a boy. She already knew, but I'm sure she... And here we read after the shepherds came, and she took all these things and she pondered them. She thought about, I'm sure, the Savior he was going to be. She thought about what he meant to the world. She had her own things to ponder, obviously. Maybe not what color the kid's room was going to be, because it was a stable. But she had things to ponder about herself. She is a woman, the Bible tells us, that was favored. We should look up to her because she followed through with what God asked her to do. She is a special person. Again, we don't need to put up posters of her. We don't need to worship her, but she was a special woman that needed special recognition. She followed through, and she became the mother of Jesus. But was she pondering what pain she would endure? So let's go to Luke 2. It's my Bible. It's one more page over, 34 and 35. What pain did she have to endure? Obviously, she watched her son die. 34 and 35, and Simon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. So those aren't very comforting words. And for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. He's telling her right here, your soul is going to get pierced through this. How many women would sign up for that? How many women would be willing to do that? How many willing women could handle that, of being able to see their only child, well, at this point, or not at this point, but I mean their firstborn, be humiliated and killed on that cross? But this Bible talks about that her soul would be pierced. She had to deal with a lot more pain and suffering than just any other woman that sees her child die. Jesus was more than just her Savior. He was also her son. So her suffering was a little bit, I would say, ramped up. Okay? I don't want to see one of my children go before me. They say it's the worst thing in the world, and I would believe them. So how much more that this was the Savior of the world that people were spitting on. This is your son, but he's also your Savior. And to see that had to have been just absolutely horrible. That was her suffering. In your ponderings, are you preparing yourself for this? You say, I'm not going to have a Savior. I'm not going to... As you have a kid, or you're going to expect a kid, you have no idea what God has for that kid. He could be a great evangelist, he could be a leader, he could be a president, he could be anything that the Lord wants him to be, but are you going to be the helpers that are going to get that person there? You're going to get that kid there. Another side I want to bring up that's not popular, but persecution is here. As Christians, we're not going to be able to escape it much longer. We talk about, Pastor Hain talks about the voice of the martyrs, and these people daily live with the option of dying for being a Christian. It's coming this way. You can't not see where our religious liberties are being taken away.
Yes, sir.
Again, pray for your president, pray for those that are in authority, because some tough years coming. Persecution you hear, but don't stop raising your child for God. Don't make it easier on your child to just say, well, we won't talk about God, we'll just pull it into a shell, we won't talk about it. No, you still need to be doing the tough work. You still need to be raising your child that they can handle the pressure of the world, that they can be that light in the darkness. It's not, parenting, being a Christian parent is not going to get any easier. It's going to get harder by far, but I encourage you to not walk away from the faith just so you don't have to worry about your kid. I forgot to talk about earlier with Christmas, and I got to bring this up real quick. Be a parent to your children, not their best friend.
Yes, sir. Yes.
There's way too much of that in this country anymore. We don't want to offend our kid. We don't want them to go without. We want to give them everything they can have. If you can afford that, that's wonderful. But still, go back and teach them what the reason is that we serve a risen Savior, and He was born, and that's why we have this, why we have Christmas. There's too many parents that want to be the best friend. They don't want to discipline their kids. They don't want to hurt their kids' feelings, and that's why we're filled with a bunch of millennials today that, if there's a cross, and I don't have the time to say this, but I heard the story this week of in Maryland, there's a cross with World War I veterans' names that the mothers put on this cross all those years ago as a tribute to their children that fought. Well, the state of Maryland moved the road, and now it became Maryland property, and this group sued because government money is going to take care of that and needs to be tore down. When are we going to stop? This complaining because it offends me, you're against my... No. We as Christian parents have to step up, teach our kids right from wrong, not back down from it, be the parent that they need to be. Again, I'm not telling you that you can't go out and get your kids presents, because my wife is a very good shopper. She loves Black Friday when she can pick out certain things for her kids. There's a twinkle in her eye, and I get to see the same twinkle from the bank teller when I pay my credit card. But she is very responsible. She doesn't give them everything they need or do everything they want. She gives them what they need. That being said, if you can give your kids $5,000 worth of stuff, give them $5,000 worth of stuff. Start out with God first. Talk about the blessings you have of why you're getting $5,000 worth of stuff. I don't think any kid needs $5,000 worth of stuff, but make sure it's in proper line. And again, don't become your kid's best friend. I've had this discussion with my daughter, Grace. We like racing, and we go racing together. And there's nothing I enjoy more than sitting there and talking with her. But if she does something wrong, I got to discipline.
That's right.
I can't you're my bestest friend, because she's never going to learn to respect anybody, ever. And she's never going to learn that aspect of it. I can be her best friend, because in a few years, she's going to think I'm the dumbest man in the world. By the time she turns 21, I might start gaining back some of that respect again, and she's going to want to know stuff from me. I'll have time to be her best friend then. It cannot be now, because you're just going to ruin that whole relationship.
That's exactly
what it is. To go off of that, or just get off my soapbox, as my wife says, let's go to Ephesians 5. And this is where Pastor finished it last week. And I saw something in there that kind of struck my eye. We're going to go to Ephesians 5:8. And he was talking about the light, being light of the world, not being darkness, not following along in the darkness. Verse 8, for ye were sometimes, Ephesians 5, verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Now, I've heard other verses that say you can't just drink the meat or drink the milk, you got to start to eat, meaning growing up, becoming an adult, being an adult. The Bible talks about that, and it's true. We need to grow in the Lord. But it was curious to me why he put there, walk as children of the light. And I started thinking about it, and again, I am not a doctorate, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a nothing, so this doesn't mean anything, this is just my opinion. But I'm going to use technology again. It's a flashlight. Adults, when we walk in the light or when we're in the light, this is all we get most times, okay? An adult is fine just staying in the light. I'm good, I can be seen. A child will follow the light. So to me, it was kind of neat how he said, walk as a child, walk as children, follow the light. Don't just be complacent standing here going, I'm in the light.
Yes, sir.
An adult can look and see off in the dark and, yeah, I'm good. I'll stay right here in the light. But a child, they're like a dog. They'll follow that light right around. You think God's trying to do that to us? He's trying to make us walk? And it's why you referred to it as a child, not as an adult?
That's good, brother.
I don't know. I'm not a doctorate, but that's what I came up with. But anyways, for children and non-adults, testing and growing, following the light, adults tend to stay still. Children often follow the light as it moves. In verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God, same chapter, and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the closing. If we didn't have the birth of Jesus Christ, this verse wouldn't work. We can't give thanks to God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There had to be a birth. There had to be a Savior that was born, a Savior that was going to die. But his birth is no less important than his death and his burial and resurrection. Okay? As Christian parents, please don't take Christ out of Christmas. Make sure that you, if you don't have any traditions, start traditions this year. Start to give that opportunity for your kids to make sure they know what they believe. Ask them questions. They're going to answer you. If they don't know, then you got a time to teach them. Let's close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for all you've done. Thank you for all you're going to do. I just pray that you'd help us throughout this night. Give us safety on our way home. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us in our prayer time.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Again, you the Haynes family. Just protect them and help them through this time. And then also we pray for the Askus as they come home. I just pray for safety and protection for them as well.
Stop doing that.